And one day we will stand before you face to face. What a glorious day that will be, Lord, when we stand in our new bodies, clothed in perfect righteousness. No more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death. Lord, what a blessing it will be. This morning, Lord, may we be encouraged by our hope. Hope that we have in you, Lord. Father, I pray that we would remember how important it is to walk with you, to give you our full attention. Father, what a blessing it is to have your Spirit living in us. What a blessing it is to have the full revelation of your Word, your powerful and living Word. And I pray this morning that we would turn our attention to you, Father, we'd listen carefully to what you have to say. Father, I pray that your Word would have powerfully work in our lives and use it, Lord, to strengthen our relationship with you, to draw us closer to you, Lord. Father, we pray that you would be glorified through the preaching of your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue to work our way through Colossians, so if you have a Bible, you can turn. If not, there's one there in front of you. Turn open to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 15 today. Last week we talked about walking in the fullness of Christ, living in that the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. He's given us everything everything needed to grow in spiritual maturity, and it is in our spiritual maturity that we're able to walk in the fullness of Christ. There's so many great benefits to walking in the fullness of Christ. There are great benefits that come with our spiritual maturity, a stronger faith, more joy, more peace, more endurance through life's ups and downs, more contentment. These are just a few of the things we enjoy as we grow and mature in our faith. After Paul explains this in the last few verses, he moves on to remind these believers, this church, that they are made alive in Christ. He starts off with a call to keep growing in Christ. Let's look there at verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So he starts off there, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. First off, we believe that it was Epaphras who came to faith in Ephesus and was discipled by Paul, and then he took that good news back to his hometown, good news of Christ. It was then by faith, as he preached that gospel, it was by faith in Christ, through the hearing of God's Word and the powerful work in the Holy Spirit, that these Colossians received that free gift of life in Christ. The same for us today. We can only receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life by faith in Christ through the hearing and the Word of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot work for it. We cannot earn it by our own merit in some way. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we can be forgiven and adopted by God into His family. There's no other way. That is the way. Christ says He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. This is how they received Jesus. Which brings us to the second thing we notice there about these words there in verse 6. He makes mention of the superiority of Christ again. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. In other words, it's like saying, you received Christ Jesus, the one who is the Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the one and only creator and sustainer of the universe. He is supreme above all things. And this was Paul's way of fighting against the false teachers there in Colossae. And these false teachers were trying to undermine the church's understanding of Jesus as Lord of all. They wanted to replace Him with something else. Paul says, just as you received Jesus, we talked about that, just as you received Jesus, so walk in Him. They received Jesus by faith in Christ, according to His Word, by the work of the Spirit. Okay, therefore, just as they were saved by the work, by faith, then they need to walk by faith. Just as they were saved by the Word of God, they need to walk according to God's Word. Just as they were saved through the work and power of the Spirit, so they need to walk in the Spirit's leading and power. Our relationship is often, our relationship with God is often considered to be a journey. As we journey through life, we walk with Him in this relationship. Through all of life's problems and issues and trials and tests and victories, we walk with Him. As we daily walk with Him, we walk by faith in Him, meaning we daily die to ourselves. We believe in Him and His promises, and therefore we trust in Him. We trust in Him to lead the way, to sustain us, to empower us for what's ahead. As we daily walk with Him, we look to His Word for guidance and strength. Our faith is based on God's Word. By it, we learn what God expects of us. We learn what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live as a believer. We learn His will for us. We learn what He has promised to us. We learn how we can please Him and glorify Him. His Word is living and powerful, so we look to it for guidance as we walk with Him. As we daily walk with Him, we rely on the Holy Spirit's leading to empower us to overcome our flesh and obey the Lord's will. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh." Meaning, allow the Spirit to take control of you. Give Him control in your life. When we come to Christ, we have turned away from that old life. We've entrusted our lives to Christ. He is in control. He is our leader. He is the head of this church. He's the head of our lives. And so we need to give Him control. We need to give the Holy Spirit control of our lives. Let Him take control and walk by Him. And so just as they had received Christ, they needed to keep walking in the same manner. Again, He reminds them in verse 17, they are rooted and they are built up and established in the faith. The word rooted there was a farming term. Built up is a construction term. Established is an educational term. Rooted is a picture of sinking the roots of our faith deep into the soil of God's truth. Built up means building on the foundation of faith, which is Christ, faith in Christ. We build on our foundation that is in Christ. Their faith had been securely established by the teaching of God's Word, by Epaphras. It says there in verse 7, as you were taught. He was teaching them the Word, the truth of God's Word, these doctrines that Paul had passed on to him. He's passing them on to these believers. Now, these metaphors reveal that this church had a strong foundation in Christ. Paul wanted them to remember what they had and continue building on this strong foundation. They needed nothing else but to keep growing in Christ. There was not a second step of faith in legalism or mysticism, as these false teachers were implying. We'll get into that in the next chapter, even today a little bit. They were rooted in God's truth. They were built up in Christ. They were established by His Word. They only needed to continue in what God had started in them. Keep growing in Christ. How often do we get sidetracked in our devotion to God? Our commitment, our devotion to this relationship, this personal relationship that we have with God through Christ. How often do we get sidetracked? How often do we forget that walking with God is an eternal pursuit? It started in our faith in Christ, when we entrusted our lives to Him. That relationship we have with God is eternal. We should never stop growing in our relationship with Christ. We should never stop growing deeper in our understanding of His Word. We should never stop giving over control to the Holy Spirit. We should never stop being discipled and discipling others. By faith in Christ, we are now rooted in Him, rooted in His truth. We're being built up and established in our faith through the Word, through the powerful working of His Holy Spirit that lives in us. If we do not continue to grow in Christ, we will grow in the ways of this world. We will grow in the desires of our flesh. We will be led astray by the false teachers and philosophies of this world. See, Paul knew that they needed to continue on in the foundation that had been started in their lives. God had started this. They needed to keep growing in Christ. He even mentions there a fruit that would come through this spiritual growth, abounding in thanksgiving. Verse 7, they end up abounding in thanksgiving. The word abounding, it refers to a river that overflows its banks. A powerful flow of living water in us that grows deeper as it flows and overflows even into the lives of other people around us. How sad is it when our lives are but a trickle of water, a stream that's dried up and barren. This is not what Christ wants for us. If our spiritual roots are deeply rooted in Christ, we'll have no desire for any other soil that the world may offer us. If Jesus is our sure foundation, we're going to have no need to move on to something that the world entices us with. If we're studying and growing in the Word of God, then we'll not be led astray by false doctrine. If we are mature and have a heart that is overflowing with thanksgiving, we'll not think of turning away from the fullness that we experience in Christ. Paul continues with a warning to keep watch in Christ. So we want to keep growing in Christ. We should all be growing. Some of us grow faster than others, but we need to keep growing. We grow in Christ. We grow in His Word. We grow in the leading of the Holy Spirit. We keep building on that foundation that we have in Christ. But he warns them to keep watch. Keep watch in Christ. Look at verses 8 through 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Again, Paul points to the superiority of Christ there in verse 9. He states here, for in Him, Christ, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You know what that means? God has come in the flesh. Not only is Jesus fully man, He is fully God. He is the head of all rule and authority in the universe. He says there in verse 10, He has all authority, all power. He's been given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. He is sovereign, sustainer of the universe. He holds it in the span of His hand, it says in Psalms. He reminds them of this, and then He warns them to keep watch. Keep watch that no one take them captive. In other words, lead them astray by philosophy, empty deceit, he says, human traditions, according to Satan's evil, divisive plan for this world. So many distractions, so many enticing things around us that will take us captive. It was everything that was contrary to what Christ desires for us. You see, we live in a world that is full of fine or great sounding philosophies and empty delusions preached by false teachers that fascinate people today, especially our younger generation. They offer a false sense of hope and fulfillment. They're so fascinated by them, and they can easily be taken captive. They take their minds and their hearts captive. This can happen to anyone. This can happen to any of us who does not know the truths and doctrines of God's Word. The false teachers of that day were influenced by the religious astrology of the Greek culture. They believed powerful angels and demons and gods influenced the heavens and the lives of people. They worshiped these angels. They worshiped these demons. They put them in a place of superiority way above Christ. Their belief system was full of mysticism. They were focused on horoscopes and cultic practices. It was a system totally contrary to the Word of God. But in their deception, in the deception of these false teachers, just like it is today, they were not asking these Colossian believers to forsake Christ. That's not what they were asking. They were asking them to make Him a part of their new belief system. You can worship Jesus and these angels or these demons. You can worship Jesus and believe in the mystic arts. Adding these things will bring you fulfillment. And so the world continues to tell us the same thing today. Yeah, you can have Jesus, but there's also these other things that you need. And it wasn't just about philosophies and mysticism. He also includes traditions here. Some of these false teachers wanted them to obey their traditions as well. It was Jesus plus you need to follow these traditions. See, not all traditions are bad. These traditions were handed down from generation, one generation to another. But with any tradition, any teaching even, we need to ask the question, is this from God or is this from man? The religious leaders and even Paul before Christ, they held tightly to these man-made traditions. So much so, they were willing to kill Jesus in order to protect them. Man-made traditions are sometimes placed higher than our worship of Christ. Nothing should come before Christ. We worship Him alone. It's not Christ plus anything. It is only Christ. Salvation is found only in Him. No one comes to the Father except through Him. It's not through Him plus something else. It's through Christ alone and His work on the cross that we are saved. How much of the world's empty philosophies have been added into our lives? You might think, you know what, I'm not taken captive by the world's empty philosophies. I want you to take a minute. I want you just to think of anything the world says that you need or will make your life better or more fulfilled. You don't have to look far. Every time you watch TV, it's there. Every time you go out, every time you see a sign, it's there. These things may not be bad in themselves, but the philosophy that says that you must be busy. You must be busy doing these particular things if you're going to be fulfilled. Or you must keep up with the Joneses or the status quo if you're going to be fulfilled. Or you must have these particular items, these material possessions, if you're going to be fulfilled. You must keep up with these certain traditions. You must follow them by the letter if you're truly going to worship Christ. All of these things can take place, the place of superiority that Jesus should have in your life. Every one of them. All of these pursuits and this busyness can take you captive and make you a slave to this. And you say, how can this be? I mean, isn't this the American dream? How many of us are overly busy? And why? How many of us are overly busy? And why? What's your standard for that? What's your standard for being overly busy? Does it come from the world? Or does it come from Scripture? How many of us are in debt over our wants and not our needs? How many of us in debt over our wants and not our needs? How many of us treat tradition with higher respect than the truths and doctrines of God's Word? Meaning we can articulate traditions to the letter, but we're not able to explain or teach someone the truths and doctrines of God's holy Word. These are questions that we have to answer. We have to contemplate. Because it could be that we are being taken captive by the philosophies of this world. It could be that, yes, we're following Jesus, but we're hauling behind us a lot of baggage. Things that we've collected and taken on from the world. We need to ask ourselves these questions. Your flesh, Satan, he wants us to think that we need more than what Christ can give us. And we need something else to find fulfillment. Look at what he says there in verse 10. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled in Christ. All fullness is found in Christ. Therefore, why do we follow after empty philosophies, worldly pursuits, and man-made traditions? Paul had given them the antidote to all false teaching. All fullness is in Christ, and you have been made full in Him. In Christ, we can walk in the fullness and abundant life that He has promised us. We have been made alive, it says, in Him. Why then would we need anything else? Why would we turn away from the river of living water found in Christ to drink from the dirty cisterns of this world? Does that sound familiar? You look back to Jeremiah 2:13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns. They can hold no water. They offer no fulfillment. And yet we seek after these things." They did just as it says in Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, the created thing, rather than the Creator. Why exchange? Why turn away? Why not find that true fulfillment in Christ, the living water, why turn to these things that are broken, that offer no hope, no fulfillment? It doesn't matter how many you gain, how much you take on, it's not going to fulfill you. Fulfillment is found in Christ alone. We have to keep watch in Christ. All teaching must be weighed by Christ. Where does it put Jesus Christ, His person, His work? Does it deny His deity? Does it deny His humanity? Does it rob Him of His fullness? Does it say that a believer must have some new experience to supplement his experience with Christ, his salvation with Christ? If so, that teaching is wrong and it is dangerous. When a person puts his or her trust in God through faith in Christ, they are born spiritually into the family of God. You are a new creation in Christ. Our spiritual growth, it's not by addition. It's by nutrition. God grows you from the inside out. We talked about this last week. He uses His Word. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the church. He uses trials to nourish and grow us spiritually in maturity. He matures us from the inside out. Nothing needs to be added to Christ because He is the fullness of God and we find our fullness in Him alone. Don't seek after these other things. Keep watch in Christ. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Don't be taken captive by these vain pursuits and worldly philosophies. They're everywhere. And unless we're in the Word, we will never spot them. We will be fooled. We will be tricked into following after these things. Keep your identity in Christ alone. Paul knew they needed to be reminded of what they had in Christ and who they are in Christ. The third thing there is keep your identity in Christ. We're going to look at verses 11 through 15. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. What amazing verses, scripture. What amazing word this is that describes what Jesus did on the cross for us. You see, these false teachers in Colossae had a mixture of Oriental mysticism, Greek philosophy, and Jewish legalism. What a mixture. You think about all these different philosophies and things that were being shared by different false teachers around those who had or newly had come to faith in Christ. All these different things that probably brought doubt into their mind. They were very religious. And the flesh loves to be religious as long as that religion doesn't require us to die to self. These Colossian believers were forsaking what Christ had already accomplished for them on the cross for something less. Either by the work of their flesh or some false philosophy, they were seeking fulfillment in something other than Christ. How many times do we fall to that? So easy to be taken captive, to fall to something less when we have everything in Christ. It's so easy just to, we call it do the norm, or just barely touch the surface of what it is to walk in the fullness of Christ, because our lives are full of so many other things. Paul now turns his focus to these false teachers who emphasize legalism. They emphasize the need to follow Jewish law in order to become more spiritual, which meant they had to be circumcised. They had to eat certain foods. They had to have a special diet. And they had to observe the Jewish festivals. You had to observe all these Jewish festivals in order to become a part of the spiritual elite in the church. It's a pretty good picture of how legalism pushes you toward the pursuit of being the spiritual elite, placing yourself above others and looking down on others because you think you're better than them. Maybe you have more knowledge. Maybe you do certain things or obey certain traditions that you think make you more spiritual. This happens all the time. Paul wants to remind them of what they have in Christ. He wants them to keep their identity in Christ alone and not get mixed up by putting their identity in a work of the law, in a special diet, a special festival, or something else. He starts off there in verse 11 by explaining the spiritual circumcision that we receive when we come to faith in Christ. Look at what he says there. This is not a physical circumcision. Not that physical circumcision that identified them as children of Abraham. In fact, Jeremiah talks about Israel as being uncircumcised in heart. Jeremiah 9:26. And Paul explains in Romans 2:29 that circumcision has always been a matter of the heart. It's not an outward physical thing. It's like being baptized. The baptism doesn't save you. It is a picture of what has already happened in your heart. It's a picture. It represents a decision you've already made. It always has to do with the heart. Jesus came and talked about the law, and he talked about it in such a way that it always focused on our hearts. It wasn't an outward doing of a law. It was the inward. The inward obedience of the heart, the desire of the heart. Jesus' circumcision as a baby was a foreshadow of Jesus putting off the flesh and taking on our sins on the cross. His water baptism was a symbol of the baptism of suffering he would bear on the cross for us. Here Paul explains that Jesus accomplished, he's explaining what Jesus accomplished and what we gain. What do we gain from this? Because we gain a lot. What do we gain? On the cross, Jesus took on himself. This is what he's describing. He took on himself all the sin of the world. He took our record of sin, he talks about. Our debt of sin that demanded our death, that condemned us to everlasting punishment in hell. He took that on himself. He took our place. He took our punishment of death, and God poured out his righteous judgment on him instead of us who believe. Jesus was buried, and through the powerful working of God, he raised him from the dead, just as he says there in verse 12. Through his resurrection, Jesus canceled our debt of sin, defeated death, conquered the enemy, gained victory over Satan, left him powerless. He disarmed him, he says. Now, what does this mean for us? It means that when you hear the good news about Jesus, I'll say the bad news and the good. In that good news message, in that gospel message, there is bad news. So when you hear that, meaning, when you hear about sin and the destruction it has brought on this world, suffering, pain, and death, and the brokenness it has brought into your life, and you hear about that punishment, the punishment for our sin, which is everlasting death, separation from the God who created you, and then you hear the good news, the good part of this good news, that God loved the world so much that he came himself and he made a way so that we would not suffer everlasting death. Judgment and separation and death. He was betrayed by his, came as a baby. He lived a perfect life. He was betrayed by his own people. He was crucified on the cross. On that cross, he became God's perfect and final sacrifice for all the sin of the world. It doesn't matter what you think you've done or how bad you think you are. Jesus paid the price for all of it on the cross. He became that perfect and final blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. He took our sin and punishment on himself, and he died in our place. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He defeated sin and death, and he lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin and eternal life. So you've heard that. Bad news about sin, the good news about what Christ did to destroy the power of sin. Destroy the power of the enemy. And then you hear, if you believe in who he is and what he did through his death and resurrection, if you confess him as Lord, meaning you ask his forgiveness, you say, Lord, forgive my sin. I have sinned against you. And you turn from your old life of you being in control and you entrust your life to Him and you follow Him, He's now in control. When you hear that message and by faith in Christ entrust your life to Him, this is what it means for us. When you do that, you are instantly baptized by God the Holy Spirit. You have been crucified with Christ, meaning you have died to your sin. You've been raised with Him in new life. He says there in verse 12. He says in verse 13, you were dead in your sins, but now through faith in Christ, you have been made alive in Christ. He has forgiven all your sin. He has canceled your record of debt. The law now has no hold on you. You have now been justified before God. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You are now made right before God. Satan has no power on you. He is disarmed. You are a child of God. He is your Father, and He watches over you. He sustains you, and He fills you with all the power you need to live a victorious life. He has won the battle for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? This is what we have in Christ. In Christ, this is our true identity. All those other things the world tells you that you need, that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. As a child of God, you have it all. You already have it. You don't need to work for it. It is given to you. Everything. Eternal life and everything you need for godliness and life is given to you in Christ. All the joy, all the fulfillment, all the peace, all the power, all the strength, all the endurance, all the love. It's all given to you in Christ. You don't need to seek after anything else. You're a child of God. All that we need has been accomplished by Christ on the cross. In Christ, there is great freedom. But in the law, there's slavery. There's shame. There's guilt. There are accusations from the enemy. When our identity is fully in Christ, we live in freedom. But when we put part of our identity in something else or someone else, we will find ourselves in turmoil. We'll find ourselves feeling defeated. We'll find ourselves overwhelmed, desperate, believing the lies of the enemy, living even as if we are enemies of God. We may even live as if we're still dead in our sin and have no control, not knowing that we are alive in Christ. We must always find our identity in Christ alone. What keeps you from continuing in your spiritual growth in Christ? What's keeping you from that? And if you were to think back 1 year ago, 2 years, 5 years, have you grown in your relationship with Christ? Have you grown in your understanding, your ability to be a part of His mission, share the gospel, make disciples? What's keeping you from growing in your spiritual growth? What keeps you from your personal daily time with the Lord? What is that thing? Maybe it's something that's taking you captive. Maybe it's a philosophy of the world that says you must do this. You have to. It's the only way. And that thing is keeping you from spending time in your personal time, in your daily time with the Lord. What keeps you from serving in the church? What keeps you from being disciple and discipling others? Have you ceased to walk in Him and grow? We must keep watch in Christ. Have you not given Jesus that place of superiority in your life where He is number one? He is your focus. He is the source of everything you need. Your identity is in Him. There should be nothing before Him. Have you been taken captive by empty philosophies and worthless pursuits of this world? Is the busyness of life and your pursuits keeping you from growing and living a life of victory and freedom? If we're not growing in our understanding of God's Word, we may fall prey to the teaching, that false teaching of this world. You have been made alive in Christ. Keep your identity in Him alone. Don't put your identity in another person. Don't put your identity in a material possession. Jesus is the living water. We find our fullness in Him. We find peace and purpose and joy, everlasting hope in Him. Why settle for something less? Why settle for something that will never, ever, ever fulfill you? You are a child of God, and there is abundant life and blessing in being a child of the King. That is your identity. As the worship team comes, while this song is played, I want you to take time to evaluate your life. You don't have to stand. You can sit there. You can kneel before the altar if you want. I want you to take time to evaluate your life in Christ. Listen to what the Spirit's leading, and get rid of anything that keeps you from growing. Anything that keeps you from knowing God's truth so that you can know the false teaching around you. Anything that keeps you from putting your identity in Christ, lay it aside. Make whatever changes you need to make. Nothing is worth trading. Nothing is worth trading. The abundant fullness of life we have in Christ. Nothing. Your identity is in Him. Take time to evaluate your life right now and just get rid of those philosophies. Get rid of those things that the world is telling you you have to do. Listen to what God says. Listen to what He says and make those changes. Whatever needs to take place, spend time with the Lord right now and evaluate your life as we sing.